reading is from the book of Luke.
Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? I will show you what someone is like who comes to me, hears my words, and acts on them. That one is like a man building a house who dug deeply and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood arose, the river burst against that house but could not shake it, because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not act is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the river burst against it, immediately it fell, and great was the ruin of that house. This is the word of the Lord.
So it's good to be back. My name is John Geske. I've been on a 5-week hiatus of sorts, a sabbatical. And I will be honest with you, in a word, it was not the sabbatical I expected. I was kind of thinking of sabbatical, stepping back, hammock, you know, taking it in. I had some kind of scholarly books I wanted to read, a novel or two kind of for ease and enjoyment of reading as such, but that's not how it went down. God had something else in mind. And I'm going to indulge me a little bit, okay? On July 3rd, okay, my beloved dog, Joey. How many times have I talked about Joey, you know? A significant portion of my life. Well, on July 3rd, he had a catastrophic heart event, and he passed away suddenly. Yeah. And I was whisking him off, carrying him to the emergency vet, but I think by the time I was doing that, he had already passed on. All I know is some kind of catastrophic heart event. All the while, but I'm getting to good news here, okay? Just stay with me. But then all the while, you know, my mother, of course, she's 91, would have been 92 on August 29th. Been in a nursing home for the past 5 years or so. So the significant deterioration of her health, not completely unexpected, but I was connected to my mother. Even though she had some dementia, we would speak on the phone and she would mumble some words. So there was a relationship going on. But she passed away on August 3rd, really a month later. And the grief, you know, the sadness, loss, the emptiness of all that was. You know, Joe, a significant part of my life. My mother, my father, growing up in Minnesota in the 60s and the 70s, it really was idyllic in a sense. Norman Rockwell is such. But really, my mother is the last one. One other uncle, but my mother being the last one of that generation. So just kind of gone. And I would be honest with you, I was kind of perplexed. And I had another challenge or two, and God calling me to greater obedience and trust and faith in another aspect of my life. And so, you know, given this, the sabbatical I did not expect, what does it mean for me to walk in faith, to be a hearer and a doer of God's word? In the midst of what's going on, to advance the kingdom, to leverage my life for eternal purposes. And that's the same question I have for you today. What does that mean for you today? Given the fact that you have real life going on, a lot of what you probably did not sign up for, to be a hearer or endurer of the word, to walk in faith and trust. It may be the challenges to be a hearer and doer of the word in the midst of a child who's wayward. To be a hearer and doer of the word when perhaps there's been the betrayal of a friend or business partner. To be a doer and hearer of the word, you realize some aspect of your personality and character needs some further refinement. It may be a health challenge, who knows? But again, what does it mean to be a hearer and doer of the word in real life, in this fallen world? To be sure, it is a challenge. A real challenge. You know, when you talk about that, I am talking about building a solid foundation. Building, it's an ongoing, building a solid foundation that endures when the inevitable storms, wind, rain, floods strike. I want to talk to you about being a hearer and a doer of the word, a solid foundation. In our reading from Luke for today, it comes after Jesus' significant time of teaching, beginning in verse 17 of chapter 6. Previous to this teaching, Jesus has been in the mountaintop. He's been on the mountain, and he's praying fervently. He's going to call those to be his disciples. And so he's pouring his heart out from God to hear from the Father whom he should choose. And so then he comes down from the mountain, and he chooses the 12. And then this extended teaching beginning in verse 17. And it's about the particulars he teaches to the crowds, but he's also zeroing in and focusing on his disciples. The particulars of kingdom life. What does it mean to be a disciple? To be a true follower of Jesus? To hear and do, to advance the kingdom. You know, Jesus is teaching. In Matthew's significant teaching portion, you've heard it referred to as the Sermon on the Mount. It's chapters 5 through 7. In Luke's version, it's a bit shorter, but it's referred to as the Sermon on the Plain. And it isn't that Luke's not interested in heavenly things, spiritual things, but he's, in a sense, despiritualizing. He wants to know how we as followers, he wants to teach on what does it mean as we as followers of Jesus in this fallen world to live out the gospel for the renown and glory. And mind you, the word, the ways we live out the kingdom, the words that Jesus gives us in this teaching is challenging. Challenging. To be a hearer and doer of the word. Oh, really, God? Jesus teaches about it. You've heard it. Love your enemies, right? You've heard that, right? Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Really? That's just easier to spiritualize. Step back. He wasn't really serious. Pray for those who abuse you. If someone strikes you in the cheek, offer the other also. Give to everyone who begs, Jesus. Are you serious? A hearer, a doer of that word? Jesus is serious. Did you notice this comes at the very end, again, as mentioned, and it's a challenge, but it's a stern warning because it comes with contrasting images. Right? You heard that. As I understand it, in Palestine, like Arizona here, it's arid. It's dry. But, however, Arizona, like Palestine, or Palestine, like Arizona, has a rainy season. I believe it's during the winter there in Palestine, in Israel. And finally, the rains would come. You know, the storms would start to brew. The winds would blow. The rains would come torrential. And then the riverbeds that were so dry, parched dry, would be flooded with, you know, raging torrent, foaming waters as such, if I can have that picture up there. You know how it is. Right. The storms, the wind, the rain, the flooding, you know. It's almost apocalyptic, if you will. And if you were smart, you had the good sense to build your house. A lot of work, hard work. You would build your house on the rock. And everything you had then would perhaps be, or more than likely, preserved, securing your possessions. But if you were unwise, didn't want to do the work, you would build on the shifting sands. Oh, you would build, and oh, I'm not sure. This just doesn't look like it's going to rain. I mean, that was maybe yesterday. You know, it's just not going to. But inevitably, the storm, the wind, the rains, the flooding would come. And if you built on the shifting sands, the ruin would be great. Contrasting images. How are we building? You know, truth be known, we often do build on shifting sands, don't we? We build on shifting sands. Let me give you quick four reasons why I believe we build on shifting sands. We do so because we oftentimes live an unfocused and undisciplined life as believers. Unfocused, undisciplined life as believers. It's just so easy to get caught up in the swirl of life. Right? The immediate, the tyranny of the immediate, the next challenge. You're just trying to keep your head above water. It's hard to step back, discipline, to abide and be focused, to draw away, to hear and do the word for sure. The allure, number two, shifting sands, the allure of the immediate material world around us. Let's face it, when we hear, buy that shiny sports car, there's a little bit of us that can imagine ourselves in the seat of that shiny sports car, right? Oh, the well-appointed palatial home, the envy of all your friends and neighbors. Obtain it. Oh, indulge it. An inappropriate relationship with a coworker. They're just there. Shifting sands. Sometimes it's easier just to build on shifting sands because it's just plain easier. It's hard to live a life of faith. It's hard to dig down and build a life on the solid foundation of the rock, which is Jesus. It's hard to face pain and to trust God in the process that he will be with you. It's much easier to anesthetize with shopping or TV or whatever else, work, busyness, distractions, shopping, food, alcohol, sex, the list goes on. It's much easier. And fear, always, faith is always lived out in the context of fear. God, will you honor your word? I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. Fear. It's much easier just to say, I'm not sure if I'm going to sign up for this faith journey thing. I'd rather just kind of hunker down, live life on my own terms. So we build on shifting sands. And immediately, but down the road, it has a way of coming to roost. Or we forfeit the blessed life, a life of faith, hearing and doing, building a solid foundation in Jesus Christ. Much easier to be a hearer and a doer than a doer. Don't you agree? Now, Pastor, that was a good message. Thank goodness I can walk away and not have to apply it to my life. You know, when we do discipleship, we have kind of a two-step process. And when we disciple, we do ask, so God, what are you saying to me? I mean, sometimes God gets our attention, right? And we then ask, well, so what are you observing about your life? How might God be getting your attention? And so you do some reflecting upon that. You discuss it with others with the intent of having some clarity about what God, are you saying to me? God speaks. He wants us to hear. The kingdom is among us. God, what are you saying to me? You're breaking into my life. And that's great. And we want to not hastily move towards action. But there does come a point where we ask, we say low control, high accountability. We don't say, here's what you should do because here's what I think you should do. But we say, so in light of what God's saying, what do you think God's calling you to do? And it's kind of funny, and I noticed this in others, and I noticed it in myself. When you kind of get to that point of, oh, so what are you going to do about it? All of a sudden, there's this smile that comes about. Almost as if you've kind of been found out. The faith shtick is up. Oh, really? We're going to hold each other accountable to do something? Now, come on, you're messing now. Much easier to be a hearer and not do. But as I mentioned, the contrasting images are significant, are they not? So let's just speak for a few moments amongst us friends of faith here. Jesus is serious. Lord, 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 you're calling me sovereign, but you don't do what I tell you to do. So he's serious. So let's talk about being both a hearer and a doer. And lived out in this sinful world with flesh that is weak, a hearer and doer. And key to that then, first and foremost, is submission. If I could have that word up there, submission. Submission. You've seen this triangle before. It's called the covenant triangle, God's promise triangle to us. If I could have that up there. God is our Father. By his mercy and grace in Jesus Christ, we have been forgiven. We then receive the spirit of adoption. Our identity is confirmed. It's a gift of God that we are sons and daughters of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In light of that, we want to represent our Heavenly Father well, to be obedient to Him. And I can't ask just briefly, why would we want to do that? Why not just do it on your own terms? Why do we want to submit and walk in obedience? It sounds kind of like not a whole lot of fun. But I would submit to you, it is because of who God is, the magnificence of God, the awesomeness of God, and that has led to what God has done through Jesus Christ and taking your sin and my sin upon Him, setting us free. Jesus is the pearl of good price of which we give our life in submission and obedience. That's why we submit. We get to be out there to represent. Philippians puts it this way, and this is, becomes kind of a driver, a motivator of this. If I could have the passage up here. You know, talking about, you know, to imitate. This is Christ, who, though He was in the very form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited in the sense of just hanging on and holding it to Himself. But He emptied Himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness and being found in human form. What? He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. In light of that, we say, my Lord deserves my all, my submission, my obedience. I get to, as a beloved son, daughter. Part of that submission is realization that we are broken sinners and we can't walk obediently apart from Christ. It takes the empowerment of God, God's work in us. Submission. Corey, I read a book on my time off. It was The Hiding Place by Corey Ten Boom. Long story short, the one true love of her life, Carl, whom she thought she was being courted. She, you know, marriage, and she had this vision of herself. However, one day, unexpectedly, after exchanging some letters over a period of 2, 3, 4 months or so, Carl shows up unannounced on her doorstep with a woman on his arm. And he introduces her as his fiancée. Well, of course, just taken back, a moment frozen in time. Somehow she muttered a few words. Then her family came to her aid, and there they gathered in kind of the social room for the next half an hour and just kind of exchanged conversation. You know how it goes. And finally, Carl and his intended left. And Corey just made her way up a beeline to her bedroom up the stairs. And she flung herself on her bed, crying and in pain and tears for all that she had hoped that now would certainly never come to pass. Her father, she heard her father coming up the steps, her wise older father, who then ministered to her and shared with her kind of the nature of God's love. And that God loved Carl. To perhaps tie into that, in Corey's own words, my task just then was to give up my feeling for Carl. Without giving up the joy, the wonder that had grown with it. And so she then whispered this prayer, Lord, I give you the way I feel about Carl, my thoughts about our future. Oh, you know everything. Give me the way of seeing Carl. Give me your way of seeing Carl instead. Help me to love him that way, that much. And she fell asleep that night. Submission. Submission to our good Heavenly Father. And here's the key. How do we live out submission? How do we, you know, put legs to it, if you will? The second key really then is this trust. Okay? Trust. Trust. Submission. And trusting God. Submission and trusting God. And how then specifically do we, you know, live out submission? How do we walk in faith and trust? Look at verse 47, if I could have that out there. Verse 47. Jesus says, I will show you what someone is like who comes to me. Here's my word. and acts on them. Of course, that's the person who builds the solid foundation of rock. And I would invite you, if you had your Bibles open, to underline the phrases. Comes to me, hears my words, and acts on them. Submission, trust, first of all, by just coming to the Lord. Coming to the Lord. Coming before God regularly. Seeking, saying, Lord, here I am, your servant, speak, Lord. Coming to God completely and utterly dependent, because you know you cannot submit. You know you cannot be obedient on your own. God, I'm trusting you. I'm dependent on you, God. Speak to me, God. You know, it's like if you want to be spiritually fit, it's like being physically fit. It's not just, oh, I'm going to go to, you know, the gym once a week or once a month. It's about an ongoing discipline of eating well and going to the gym regularly. It's the same with that sense of coming and abiding in Christ, to come to know him, to have that relationship, spending time with the intent then of the second aspect of trust, and that really is to then hear. If I could have that, hear God's word. God speaks. Amen to that? He sent the Spirit to take everything on the heart of Jesus, to impress it upon our hearts. God is speaking all the time. But are we listening? In verse 27, part of that sermon on the plain, Jesus said in verse 27 of chapter 6, but I say to you that listen. The sense is there are many believers, but there are some who don't listen. You can be a Christian, but not listen to God, not come to discern and hear the voice of God, to have that relationship where you discern the Spirit moving. For me, it really is when I pray and when I read the word, I get some impression, sometimes a strong notion of something. It also can be a moment frozen in time where I'm walking along and I'm doing something. And all of a sudden, for some reason, God just kind of hits me over the head with something. I know where I am when God has spoken. I'm very clear what he says to me. God is speaking. How are we doing? How are you doing? In terms of building a strong foundation, which is Christ, the solid rock that's solid. Are you willing to submit because of the goodness of God, who God is, what he's done? Are you coming before God regularly, not just, you know, maybe once in a big while, seeking to hear his voice, developing that deeper connection, that relational connection, that personal relationship we speak of? How are we doing? With the intent, and finally, guess what? We're supposed to, you know, put legs to our faith. And that's really the third part of living out submission, trusting God, then coming before God, hearing his word, and then finally acting. As I mentioned, we can't do this stuff. Jesus said, even apart from the Father, I can do nothing. So how is it then? We then finally put, you know, legs to our faith. And you've perhaps seen this. Here's the good news. Here's the empowering news. If I could have the triangle up there, this is referred to as the kingdom. You and I, if you can believe this, Jesus is depending on you and me to represent him in the world, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. How's that for a challenge? And perhaps we've not done so well, right? People, we haven't got the best press out there as Christians. I would submit to you, it is because we're not submitting. We're not vessels. But here's the good news. He calls us to represent. He says, all authority and power is given to me. He transfers his authority to you and to me, and he authorized us to be out there to represent. Oh. But he gives us the power. What do I mean by power? There's the empowerment of the Spirit. But the empowerment of the Spirit comes when we're willing to set ourselves aside to be vessels through which God then does his work, through which God manifests his love. And somehow, by the full grace of God, we take on a bit of Christ, the nature of Christ, the character of Christ in this world. And when you experience that, it's thanks be to God. I mentioned Corey Ten Boom earlier. And I talked about the prayer that she offered up, you know, for Carl. 4 years later, it was her sister's wedding, Nolly. And God brought to mind that prayer that she had offered 4 years earlier. And she's found herself then praying for Carl again. That he is happy. That he does know the fullness of God's love. She even prayed for his spouse, that they're close. And again, they know the fullness of God's love. And she's almost startled because she said, you know what? That prayer could never have come from Corrie Ten Boom alone. It had to be the work of God. And she was content as such. You know, earlier I mentioned the sabbatical that I thought I was going to have, but I didn't have. And a bit perplexed, you know? But God, in God's goodness, God's infinite wisdom, some further character work in my life. Oh, God will provide the rest. He's the strength of all of us each day at a time. But some further character work. In a word, I don't do well with grief, with loss. I don't do well with grief and pain. And I've shared that with some of you before. And so it's easy for me. One of the ways I do not walk in faith is I just live in denial, right? Just keep myself busy. I do services and mortuaries. And truth be known, I can't wait to get the heck out of there. Just want to get out of there, get back to real life, you know? So the sabbatical afforded me the time to kind of process through loss, grief. Take some time. I easily could have been busy and distracted and just kind of run roughshod over it. But I felt like God was saying to me, just feel the feelings. Face it. Feel the feelings. Reflect. Think about Mom. Think about all that what once was. I did some crying for sure. Lots of crying sadness. And I feel like God was saying to me to just walk one day at a time in faith and trust. I was wanting somehow the Red Sea to part or something. But often God calls us to walk in faith one day at a time. Trusting. So by the grace of God, I've been doing that in some measure. And what I've experienced is God has sent certain people my way just to minister, to share a word from God's heart that he wanted to share with me. You know? And also last Sunday, and I'm winding up here, last Sunday, as I was doing some reflecting, I was doing some grieving. I believe God gave me this hymn, "Now the Green Blade Rises." Let me just share a few of the words that ministered to me. The Spirit did so through this hymn. "Now the green blade rises from the buried grain. Wheat that in the dark earth many days has lain. Love lives again that with the dead has been. Love has come again like wheat arising green. Forth he came at Easter like the risen grain. He that in the 3 days in the grave had lain, raised from the dead. My living Lord is seen. Love has come again like wheat arising green." Finally, fourth stanza. "When our hearts are wintry, grieving or in pain, your touch can call us back to life again. Fields of our hearts that dead and bare have been. Love comes again like wheat arising green." A hearer, a doer of the word in the midst of the challenges of life. Submission, trust, coming before God. Regularly seeking to hear what God is saying, how the kingdom is among us. And by the authority and power of God, taking action. How are we doing? The images and the contrasting images are seminal, are they not? One leads to ruin. The other leads to security. A life of significance. "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you?" Amen.